Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to We're Hit Radio. I'm your host, Mark Matheny. And today is the 21st, 2015, Saturday morning. It's been a while since I've been on the air, but I wanted to come on today and kind of go over some of the current events taking shape around the world, because we know that there's a lot of turmoil in the world right now. A lot of things in the news, and I have a website, Six Semper Tyrannis News, that gives you up-to-date perspective on current events around the world, because, you know, more and more people are getting worried about what is taking shape around the world, what's going on, and they try to make sense of it, and yet a lot of people don't understand what's going on. So with that, I wanted to first, before I go over some of the news that's taking place, I wanted to kind of go over apologize for that. I got cut off. But before I go into some of the things going on, because in this edition I want to talk about the possibility of the United States and Russia going back into a Cold War. But before that, I wanted to go into biblical perspective, and I wanted to read a couple verses from the scripture in Psalm. It says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of Yahweh, He is my refuge, and He is my fortress, my Elohim, in whom I trust. For He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. And He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings shall you take refuge. His truth is a shield and a buckler. You shall not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked for you. O Yahweh, you are my refuge. You have made the Most High your habitation. There shall no evil happen to you. Neither shall any plague come near you, for He will give you His malakim charge over you to keep you in the ways. And they shall bear you up in their hands, lest you should dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion, and the serpent shall you trample underfoot. Because He has set His love upon you, therefore will I deliver him, He says. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life shall I satisfy him with my salvation." And I wanted to go over that because in the midst of all of this, you know, bad news that's basically going on in the world, with ISIS, with these terrorist organizations, with the threats against Israel, and with some threats against the U.S. from Russia, and this growing tension, we have to remember that if we stand upon that rock, if we look to Hashem, the Holy One of Israel, for guidance, for support, for our sustenance, for our lives, then He says He will protect us. You know, but right now, we know that Benjamin Netanyahu has won the elections in Israel. There were attempts by certain groups in the United States under the direction of the White House and Obama, whether they want to admit it or not, to try to overthrow the elections to get Herzog in instead of Bibi Netanyahu or Benjamin Netanyahu. And they failed at that attempt. And after which the White House and president then wanted to go to other measures, such as not backing Israel in the United Nations, stepping away from protection of Israel against building settlements and so on, where normally they would veto some actions by the UN to stop Israel from building settlements or what have you. Now the United States says, hey, we have the right to not veto those things and let, you know, the Palestinians come in and go with their measures and so on. Meanwhile, today in the Washington Free Beacon, I wanted to go over some things because we feel, you know, if you can feel the tension between Russia and the United States growing more and more. And the question is, are we going into a Cold War scenario again? And to give you some idea, the Cold War was a state of political and military tension after World War II between the powers of the Western Bloc, which was the United States, NATO, the Allies, and against the powers in the Eastern Bloc, which was the Soviet Union and its allies under the Warsaw Pact. Now, a lot of historians that I looked at didn't really agree upon the dates, but somewhere between 1947 to 1991 is around the time of the Cold War era. And it was termed as cold because there was no large-scale fighting directly between the two sides, although there were tensions. And there were major regional wars in places like Korea, Vietnam, Afghanistan later that both sides supported. And so the Cold War split the temporary wartime alliance between against Nazi Germany, leaving the USSR and the United States as two superpowers, basically with profound economic and political differences at that time. And so the former being a single-party Marxist-Leninist state, and the latter one being a capitalist state with, you know, generally free elections at the times. You know, we can debate elections now, but and whether they're free and whether they're, you know, upstanding or not. But basically, a self-proclaimed neutral bloc arose with a non-aligned movement founded by Egypt, India, Indonesia, and Yugoslavia. And this faction rejected association with either the U.S.-led West or the Soviet-led East. So the two superpowers really never engaged directly in full-scale combat or armed combat, but they each armed heavily in preparations for a possible all-out nuclear world war. Now, some people could debate whether that was done purposely to, you know, to ingratiate the military-industrial complex and set up for this new world order. But nevertheless, each side did have a nuclear deterrent, and that deterred an attack by either side. You know, they mutually agreed to annihilation, basically. And on the basis of such an attack, it would lead to total destruction. So by that, it was called mutual assured destruction, or MAD. So aside from the development of the two sides' nuclear arsenals, and deployments of conventional military forces throughout, the struggle for dominance was expressed via proxy wars around the globe, psychological warfare. They used propaganda, espionage, and even technological competitions, such as, for example, the space race that we know about. So, you know, so as this first, you know, phase of this Cold War began, in the first 2 years after the end of the Second World War, around 1945 is when it started, Russia, or the USSR at the time, consolidated its control of the states in the Eastern Bloc, while the United States began a strategy of global containment to challenge Soviet power, extending military and financial aid to the countries in the West, you know, like Europe, for example, and creating what they called the NATO Alliance, and then you had the Berlin blockade, 1948-49, which was really the first crisis of the Cold War. And so it goes on and on, and it goes into the 70s and 80s. And sometime around the 80s, there was another period of elevated tension where there was a Soviet shooting down of a Korean's airline flight 007 in 1983, and the Able Archer NATO military exercises that took place. And then the United States, you know, began to increase diplomatic, military, economic pressures on the Soviet Union. And at that time, basically, the communist states then were already suffering from a type of economic stagnation. In the mid-1980s, the Soviet Union had that leader, Mikhail Gorbachev, at the time, who introduced the forms of the perestroika, or reorganization, and glasnost, and so on. And they ended up ending military involvement in Afghanistan, because we know that during that time the United States was financing and building up and creating the Mujahideen, and financing through Osama bin Laden and so on, and alliances with him, and all of these things started to develop at that time. And so we got things now here in the United States and in the Middle East, primarily now branching off from that Cold War, with now Islamic terrorism financed by the United States and financed by Russia still, and all these things brewing. But now we're starting to have that problem again since Obama has been in office, between the United States and Russia. And it's growing with more and more tension. But like you say, in the Washington Free Beacon, it says Russia is now developing a long-range cruise missile that poses a new threat to the United States. The commander of U.S. Northern Command warned this week. And he said, basically, Russia is progressing towards its goal of deploying a long-range, conventionally armed cruise missile with ever-increasing standoff launch distance on its heavy bombers, submarines, surface combatants, augmenting the Kremlin's toolkit of flexible deterrent options short of the nuclear threshold. Admiral William Gortney, NORTHCOM chief, who heads the U.S.-Canadian North American Aerospace Defense Command, or NORAD, said on Thursday. And he went on to say, should these trends continue, over time, NORAD will face increased risk in our ability to defend North America against Russian cruise missile threats. And he said this in a prepared testimony to the House Armed Service Subcommittee on Strategic Forces. Now, a defense official said that the missile that concerns NORTHCOM commander is the Russian KH-101 cruise missile, which Russia has developed as a weapon to attack critical infrastructures in the United States, such as the electrical grid, or an EMP attack. And if you've never studied EMP, the destruction it can cause, basically it will, it's like throwing you back into the Stone Age, basically, because if all electrical grids and everything go down, power grids, computers, everything involved with it goes down. Now, military has safeguards against these things, military bases, certain computers and things have these protection. But essentially, a city and humans living in those cities and things would basically be powerless, and there'd be total chaos in any city in which an EMP attack would take place, and certainly would have to involve FEMA, you know, martial law, and all of these things. If an EMP attack happened, there would be total chaos, there would be panic, it would just be horrible. So this is a very serious threat. Now, the comments highlight what defense officials and military analysts say is the growing threat of long-range cruise missiles. And cruise missiles pose unique threats because they can defeat defenses by flying at low altitudes, they can avoid radar, they can hide behind terrain. And some newer cruise missiles have radar-evading stealth features, making them less visible to infrared detectors and to radar, according to the article. So these low-flying missiles can overwhelm defenses by attacking with multiple missiles coming from different directions, defeating air defenses at their weakest points, and they can fly circuitous to routes to reach targets, avoiding radar and air defenses. So testimony by Gortney and these other senior officials at the hearing raised concerns that growing missile capacities can overwhelm U.S. defenses. So this is just one aspect. And, you know, Russia's moving batteries into different areas in defense. You know, we have these problems between the U.S. and Russia. And now you have, besides that, though, you have an economic battle, too. And one of the countries is interesting. Saudi Arabia now is, who's always been an ally with the United States, is now kind of siding with Russia economically. There's a new report that has come out that they've quietly reached out to their arch foe, Russia, in an attempt to temper Iran's regional influence and reach a compromise on Tehran's nuclear program. It says Middle Eastern officials say they told this to WorldNet Daily News. And it says that this move has already resulted in the opening of backdoor dialogues between the two countries aimed at possibly forging a new alliance. And the talks may showcase Saudi desperation in light of the Obama administration's rapprochement toward Iran, perhaps the House of Saud's biggest competitor for influence in the Middle East and the Persian Gulf, it says. And already, according to the article, the shifting U.S. regional alliance have been seen Russia's military relationship with longtime U.S. ally Egypt as growing even closer as well. So you have these tensions, and now you have Australia, who is also talking about joining with the Chinese bank, which is similar to the International Monetary Fund for the Western countries, for the most part. So we have a drifting away of the U.S. dollar from a lot of these countries. And, of course, this is going to cause turmoil in the United States if many of these countries should start fleeing from the dependency of the U.S. dollar to other countries and other alternative currencies, such as Russian and Chinese ruble, you know, the rubles or the yuan, as they call it. So this is just causing more problems. And the Obama administration has, according to the article, been cool to the secular moderate government of the Egyptian president Abdel Fattah al-Sisi, which ousted the Muslim Brotherhood and the Islamic allies led by Mohamed Morsi in 2013. You know, you got to go back and think about how the United States basically had overthrew Egypt, overthrew Libya, taking out these more moderate dictators, putting in these radical groups ran by the Muslim Brotherhood, by Al-Qaeda networks, by these different terrorist networks, Islamic groups being paid by the United States, and whether they want to admit it or not. So this is a big issue because the United States government basically is creating these terrorist organizations going back, like I said, during the Cold War times, when Russia was invading Afghanistan. The United States created the Mujahideen, and they basically partnered with Osama bin Laden, whose, you know, CIA name was Tim Osman. And, you know, they basically created these groups, and Taliban and later Al-Qaeda. All these groups were financed and armed by U.S. Special operations, black operations, whatever you want to call them, in order to keep the Eastern powers out of Afghanistan and out of the Middle East. And this is what it is. It's a big, big struggle, power struggle between the East and the West, who are both vying for their form of a, you know, what is called a Novus Ordo Seclorum, a New World Order. So these are some of the things that you have going on. And so, yes, this Cold War is back. And there's other problems with the de-dollarization of the United States currency, which is going to cause problems for us here in the United States. And there was an article that I published at Semper Tyrannis News from Zero Hedge. Zero Hedge is a great website to go to look at a lot of the financial aspects of what's going on in the United States. You've got a lot of Washington's allies now defecting, like I said, to the Chinese-led bank, their version of a world bank. And so this is going to cause instability within the dollar. It's going to cause the devaluation of the dollar and problems for the middle class here in the United States, and the possibility of a leading to world war, you know, when you start to have these big problems with Russia having economic issues and then the United States, you're going to have some reasons that they're going to find to go to war, basically. But according to Zero Hedge, it says the global dollarization trend continues as it appears the UK's move to join the China-led Asian Infrastructure Development Bank has indeed shown U.S. allies that spurning Washington's advice is actually acceptable and concerns the institution's standards may simply be a diversion aimed at undermining China's attempt to exercise more influence in its own backyard. And this is what the New York Times said about it. It said, ignoring direct pleas from the Obama administration, Europe's biggest economies have declared their desire to become founding members of a new Chinese-led Asian investment bank that the United States views as a rival to the World Bank and other institutions set up at the height of American power after World War II. And here's something that I find fascinating, because you got to remember that David Rockefeller, a big globalist, a big elitist who wrote in memoirs that, you know, he was pushing for a new world order and if you know, a world government, and people, you know, accuse him of being in a cabal for this one world government. And he said, and if that's the case, I am guilty and I'm proud of it. And so in 1973, right around the time he set up the Trilateral Commission, he said that the social experiment in China is one of the greatest, you know, in all times, and their moral, you know, I don't have the exact quote in front of me. I should look that up and tell you it, because it is very significant. But he basically praised China during a time when Mao was murdering, you know, millions of people. Now you see that now many of these countries are now wanting this more of a central bank in China, and this is basically what the globalists want, because China is more of a blueprint for what they want in the United States and around the world. Mao's Great Leap Forward, and I do express the term forward, just like Obama has been saying, you know, his new campaign is forward, shows us that these men are diabolical. Now, David Rockefeller said this, the social experiment in China under Chairman Mao's leadership is one of the most important and successful in human history. And he said, whatever the price of the Chinese Revolution, it has obviously succeeded, not only in producing more efficient and in a dedicated administration, but also in fostering a high moral and community purpose, high morale and community purpose. The social experiment in China under Chairman Mao's leadership is one of the most important and successful in history. Now, this is crazy, first of all, because like I said, if you look up Mao's exploits, he murdered upwards of 80 million people during his reign, some historians are saying, because they don't really know the extent of the mass murder that he committed. And yet you got these people now who want to, you know, go and join this group in China and strengthen the central bank of China. And so you start to see the preeminence of China rising up, the economy of China rising up, whereas the United States is starting to diminish. So the announcement, it says, on Tuesday by Germany, France, and Italy that they would follow Britain and join the Chinese-led venture delivered a stinging rebuke to Washington from some of its closest allies. It's also called into question whether the World Bank and International Monetary Fund, which grew out of the multi-nation conference in Bretton Woods back in 1944 and established an economic pecking order that lasted 70 years, will find its influence diminished. So this is pretty bad, because it's going to cause problems for the United States and the dollar. So we can look forward to probably higher prices, smaller packages, and so on, and more cheap crap coming from China as we borrow and borrow and borrow. But it looks like the dominance of the U.S. dollar may be coming to an end. But this is their goal, because they want to create more of a world currency, and this may lead to that, a negotiation between the Chinese-led bank, the IMF, the World Bank, and so on, and a restructure, whereas they may have a what they call the basket of currencies instead, and so on, leading to a one world currency. But this is what their plan is and their goal is by these elites. So don't be surprised. There's a lot of things going on around the world with terror. And in the scripture, in Revelation, it talks about how another horse comes forth, a red horse, and with him that sat on it was given to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given to them a great sword. You know, it's funny that they say, you know, a great sword, because one of the stereotypes of the Arab kingdom, especially during the Crusades around, you know, all through history, is a large, you know, curved sword going forth. And under the Prophet Muhammad and under the early armies, they went forth with that sword and the Quran and basically converted people to Islam under the threat of death. And now we know in the Middle East they're beheading people. Again, another prophetic signal that we're close to the end. That's in the book of Revelation as well. But significance could a great sword have other than war, and especially nuclear war? You know, but nuclear weapons are predicted. And I'm going to go into overdrive for another 15 minutes for you listening live. So just stay tuned. But in Zechariah chapter 14 and 12, it talks about this, hints at this nuclear war type deal. And with each new terrorist act that's going on, these terrorists are practicing a sort of, you know, one-upsmanship, if you will, trying to outdo each other. And it's even, you know, reported on TV, whether how true it is or not, you know, we'll never know. But even Al-Qaeda said, once ISIS came forward, they were even, you know, they were even like, whoa, you know, ISIS is going way too far than what we do. Now, you know, whether that's true or not, you know, could be debated. But the point is, these terrorist groups keep coming and doing more and more. Now you got ISIS putting men in cages and setting them on fire and cutting their heads off and stuff. So, but all of these terrorist acts are designed to be played out on live TV. They put on YouTube now, they put in Twitter, you know, using the power of all this media. These terrorists are trying to maximize the fear, the terror. They're using it for psychological reasons, political reasons. And so they, a lot of times these media outlets actually intensify the terror because they're reporting it and they're spreading it throughout the earth through media, which is, you know, some people even have question that and say, why give these terrorists this, you know, this option of media, allowing them to put things on networks and people being mutilated and tortured and killed? This just adds to it. And a lot of political assassinations have been taking place now, and slaughtering of innocent people, bombing of people, of jetliners, and a lot of terrorist acts. And then, of course, we have to reciprocate. And then you know, you've got the threat by ISIS, Al-Qaeda, by Hamas, by Muslim Brotherhood, all these extremist terrorist groups, Islamic terrorists primarily, threatening to destroy Israel. And yet you've got the U.S. backing these terrorist organizations, claiming to fight them, and yet training them. So, and I've posted articles, I've posted several different well-researched documents from mainstream news and from alternative news that shows CIA financing these operations, or at least, as they claim, pathetically neglecting to fail to stop money from going to these organizations, which, you know, is highly unbelievable because they're very efficient. So what they do is they funnel this money to these groups, but then want to, you know, don't want to be accused of doing so. So it was an oversight. There was neglect here. You know, we missed this or we missed that. We don't know how they got the money and so on. But ISIS kind of, that group grew out of Al-Qaeda, supposedly, you know, an offshoot of it, a splinter group off of it. And they've done a lot of things. But primarily what you'll notice they're doing is attacking Christians. This is the persecution. Revelation talks about it. And primarily Protestant Christians, because I believe that really these groups, these Arab nations, if you look in the book of Revelation, Psalm 83, I talk about it all the time, how they come together, they make a tumult, it says, and they go up against the holy people and say, let us destroy the nation, that the name of Israel be no more. And they give their power to the beast for 1 hour, according to Revelation. Primarily the Arab nations in Psalm 83, you can read about them, and you research those names, you'll see that they're modern Arab states and nations, and they give their power to the Vatican, to the revived Roman Empire, and to the United States, which are the first and second beast of Revelation. And I explain all of that in my videos. You have to check them out sometime if you haven't. And so we have all of these problems in the world going on around the world. And, you know, it's terrifying to most people, but we have to stand firm. We have to know what's going on around us so that we can, you know, define these things and understand how to live without that fear, without the fear of these terrorist organizations and this propaganda by the U.S. and other groups, so that we're not afraid. Now, in the book of, I'm going to read one more section of scripture in the book of Job, because, you know, even though these terrorists are exalting themselves, they're really exalting themselves not against only humanity, but against the Holy One, Almighty Yahweh. And he's going to bring judgment back. And this is in the book of Job. It says, why are we counted as beasts and have become unclean in your sight? It says, you that tear yourself in anger, shall the earth be forsaken for you, or shall the rock be removed out of its place? The light of the wicked, says, shall be put out, and the spark of his fire shall not shine. The light shall be dark in his tent, and his lamp above him shall be put out, and the steps of his strength shall be straightened, and his own counsel shall cast him down. For he is cast down into a net by his own feet and walks upon the toils. A gin shall take him by the heel, and a snare shall take hold of him. A noose is hid for him in the ground, and a trap for him in the ways. Terrors shall make him afraid on every side. And it says, and he shall chase him at his own heels. His strength shall be hungered. His calamity shall be ready by his side. The members of his body shall be devoured. And yes, the firstborn of death shall devour his members. He shall be rooted out of his tent in which he trusted, and he shall be brought to the king of terrors. Dwell in his tent, that which is none of his. Brimstone shall be scattered upon his habitation. His roots shall be dried up beneath and above. His branch shall be cut off. His remembrance shall perish before the earth. He shall have no name in the street, for he shall be driven from the light into darkness and chased out of the world. He shall have neither son nor kinsman of his people, nor any remaining where he sojourned. and they that come after him shall be astonished at his day, and that they went before they were frightened. Surely such are the dwellings of the unrighteous, and this is the place of him that knows not Almighty Yahweh. So, you know, regardless of how much they spread this terror, one thing is sure, Hashem is going to protect Israel, and he's going to keep those safe who trust in him. But please come to 6 Emperor Tyrannus News and to We're Hit Television for news updates. I constantly update the site, and I want you to feel free to come to it, support it, and I will be doing some more things in the future as I get my movie editing equipment back online and things and doing news reports. So important, I'm excited about it, and I do thank you once again for supporting 6 Emperor Tyrannus News. And, you know, for everyone who knows me, those of you who have heard my famous saying before, protect your own rights, because if you don't, no one else will. You have a great day.